And of course, I just now see that I screwed up the graphic. That's awesome. Just as I hit live. All right. Well, with that, I'll just get rid of this and make sure you see me all red faced. Good evening, everyone. It is Friday, December 15th, 2017, as the San Jose Sharks lose a tough one, 4-3 to the Vancouver Canucks. That's right. And I'm in charge of this program. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. Rocket's already going to kill me already, I bet. To be a part of the show, use the hashtag Teal Town USA. You can also follow us on Twitter at Teal Town USA, along with our Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. With me tonight, the lovely and talented and quite accessorized Rocket Backhander.
I'm the reason your great grandfather had a closed casket funeral and died with a smile on his face. Rocket Backhander. Hi.
Wow. I think we just call it a night there. Wow.
Yeah, why not?
That was an epic intro. I'm kind of speechless on that. All right. So we will talk about the Sharks game. We will also talk about the US women in town to take on Team Canada later in the show. But first, let's talk about the Sharks just really not showing up early on, and it cost them early on in this game against Vancouver. Unfortunately, they were getting, just going all out, or Vancouver was going all out early on, and it caused, unfortunately, Brendan Dillon to take a cross-checking penalty, and the Canucks used their speed, on their passing and their skating ability, and convert early on in this game. 44 seconds in, with Marcus Granlund getting a power play goal to make it 1-0 from the Sedin Twins. I mean, shoot, Rocket, they came out guns a blazing and really caught the Sharks flat-footed early on.
Yeah, you could say that. I think that you have to, this is a back-to-back off of, a heavy team. Calgary did not really go lightly on the boys last night, even though they had some really good looks and some strong passes through the neutral zone. Tonight was not reflective of their performance in Calgary last night. I think that first penalty just right off the bat really threw off any momentum that they could have brought with them from their win against Calgary.
Completely agree.
And I don't know why it took them so, I don't know why it's taking them so long to find their feet.
Yeah, that seemed weird. I think you just kept going at it, and get right back into it, that you would have your feet early on as opposed to later on. But nonetheless, they did come back to tie it with Brent Burns's fifth on the year. That was a power play goal from Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski at 10:45. They looked really solid on the power play. Burns, he's been on a roll lately, so that's definitely good to see.
Is it though? I mean, is it, or is it just like too late? He still doesn't look like the Burns of yesteryear.
No, he doesn't. He still seems, I don't know, hesitant, perhaps.
Maybe he's nursing something.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, some of these guys must be banged up, because they just, I mean, along with Jumbo and Pavs, they just early on for sure they didn't seem themselves this season.
That's true. Especially Burns. He generally kind of seemed like he was like maybe under the weather or something. I just don't. I contribute a lot of the inconsistency to injury plus the line blunder. It's tough to, it's just tough between the two of them. When you keep throwing everybody into a lime blender, I think that, you know, it works after a while if you have all the same guys in the blender. You know, it's like making a recipe. As long as all of the ingredients are there consistently, you'll come up with, you know, some tasty like blueberry muffins. But then you start throwing these other guys in there to replace the guys who are on the IR. And it's like trying to make blueberry muffins, but instead of blueberries, you put garlic in it. It's just, it's like, okay, well, maybe this doesn't work. Eh.
Yeah. I just don't know what it is, but I hope they're going to attempt to make up for their slow starts. Unfortunately, the Markless Granlund show continued for the Canucks as the Sedins assisted on his second of the game, sixth of the year, to make it 2-1 after one. And the shots on goal were redonkulous in the first for the Canucks. I mean, it was, I don't recall seeing 35 shots on goal in a period in a very long time between these two teams. That's crazy.
It also, I think, has a lot to do with Vlasic and Braun had kind of a wishy-washy night. It didn't seem, oh, and also there was that whole thing about, they did that thing again that they like to do. The Sharks have a bad habit of doing this, and I don't know if it's all teams that have a habit of doing this, but it's definitely Sharks. They do that thing where they stop skating, and they sort of lean, and then they all lean the other way, and then they all, it's like they forget that they're not down a man. They lose any offensive momentum, and they just go into that defensive black hole of suck that gets them absolutely nowhere. And I don't know what triggers that response, but whatever it is, it needs to stop. I don't know if maybe like they're wearing the wrong underwear or if just something, change the air freshener back to what it was. Put the damn Yankee candles away and get out the little cheap shitty ones again. Just, I don't know what it is that they're doing differently, but they're doing something differently that's bringing them back to this old bad habit. I think if you find the source of whatever is making them do that, you'll fix probably about 80% of this team's issues.
Absolutely.
And if you can do that, boy, I'm sure Doug Wilson has a job for you.
Right. In the chat, Sleepy Mofo, I'm not making excuses. Okay, I am. They're playing the second game of back-to-backs. It showed it was too late.
It really showed.
Yeah. Rob Iman even saying, is it time to put Jones on IR? Again, I mentioned this the other night on, I think it was on Sunday night, that Jones, this is his fifth straight game that he's allowed 4-plus goals. Something's not right with him, speaking of potential injuries. But I thought he played a decent game because he dealt with 40 shots on goal and he had to make some remarkable saves throughout the night.
I have to wonder if that whole, like, letting five in, I don't know how much you can really trust that statistic, because you really have to break down each of those five or more goals per game and figure out which ones you can genuinely attribute to a defensive breakdown or if it was an easy shot that Jones should have had, because I'm not going to sit here and pin every single shot that got let in on Jones, because the defensive core had a hand in this. So you really have to separate the two before you can be like, well, you know, Jones has been letting them all in. No, he's had some help, or hasn't had any help, I guess, in this this particular fashion. So that's kind of a misleading stat.
It's tough to say. It just Rob Iman saying is starting to become a pattern. Yes, but we don't know what it is. I mean, Rocket, you do bring up a good point on that. You know, the defense should be helping him out a little bit more. And the defense has been, I mean, what is this, the third time in the last few games that we've allowed 40 shots on goal? I mean, that's
all right. Look, I'm gonna say this right now, and I'm speaking as the world's biggest Brendan Dillon fan, okay? When you have a Norris Trophy winner and like one of the top shutdown defensive players in the NHL on the same team, and the guy in the third D pair, Brendan Dillon, gets most of the good looks and most of, I mean, you hear his name three times to every one time you hear Justin Braun. So if you realize, like, so you've got this kick-ass shutdown defensive guy, a Norris Trophy winner, and they're talking about how great Brendan Dillon is doing, maybe there's a problem with the people who aren't being talked about as much.
No, and you know, I think AJ's has had some issues with Braun. I mean, we've been giving Dillon kudos throughout the season, you know, more so than anything. I mean, like you said before on previous shows, his skating has gotten a lot better. His positioning has been a lot better for that matter too. But yeah, it's, you can't point to Dillon. You can't point to, you know, not always one person. I mean, every defenseman's had a bad game this season, and it's been, you know, Vlasic and Braun have had those issues too. More so than I think in seasons past.
Maybe they really are missing Paul Martin.
That's a very good point. And hopefully his rehab since been going very well. I think he had an assist last night with the Barracuda. So hurry back, Paul Martin, Bernsey Whisperer. Second period, moving onward, Brock Besser gets his 17th on the season, assisted by the Sedins. Yes, the Sedins had a three-point night, a three-assist night. This one was also on the power play goal to make it 3-1 Vancouver, although late in the period, Marcus Sorensen gets his first on the year. Looks like it kind of deflected off of his skate. It wasn't a distinct kicking motion, so it counts from Braun and Yannick Hansen to make it 3-2 after two. And it seemed like they were starting to get their legs now, which, of all things, you know, it's usually the opposite on the back-to-back nights.
Yeah, no, it definitely felt like they had a little bit more of a, like, that slow clap beginning during the second period. Like, they got their second wind, and they were totally going for that whole Rudy comeback. It really felt very sentimental and very emotionally driven, which is great for teams who are frustrated, but I don't know if it really helped the Sharks in the long run. I mean, yes, it did, because it at least garnered them a point.
Right.
But is this a recipe for success? Is this something that they should practice and continue on and lean on to get them through the rest of the season? Hell no.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't spot teams' leads and expect to bank on yourselves to come back. I mean, it's great that you're coming back to tying games. However, you can't do that.
God damn it. Okay, so Pete DeBoer with an update on Logan Couture. DeBoer, no update on Couture. Speculation in the chat is that Couture may have a concussion, which, if true, is huge for the Sharks, and not in a good way.
Massively huge. I mean, I think he's like the only player in double digits goal scoring. That's what happened in the third period, was a collision between him and Burmistrov. Burmistrov got 2 minutes for interference, and the Sharks couldn't capitalize on the power play there. But the worst part is that Logan's out, your leading goal scorer, pretty much the only megastar that's been consistently doing something all season, was out for the majority of the third period.
Yeah, and probably won't be back for the rest of the trip. How much you want to bet?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, thankfully they have a couple of days off before they play in Edmonton on Monday. But no, Rob Iman. If Cooch has to go out on IR, do you call up Brandon Bullock?
That's potentially one of the worst ideas I think I've ever heard.
It definitely won't be replacing him on
there. But. Rob, I agree. This is where losing Carpi really sucks. But at the same time, you can't hold on to every single player for just in case a what if situation pops up.
Absolutely. Great point, Rocket, on that.
And we have all these other players who on paper and they were supposed to just be a lot more offensively sound than what they actually are. I don't know what's going on. Why aren't we producing offensively? Why is the forward line so inconsistent with their production? What are they doing? What are they not doing? What are they doing?
Basically what Rocket said.
What are you doing, Sharks? What are you doing? Whatever you're doing, it's bad because it makes you look schizophrenic on the ice and nobody wants a schizophrenic hockey team.
Yeah, and you know, and like Chris says in the chat, because Thornton's getting old. Sure, you can say that, but also, go ahead, Rock.
No, you can say that, but the Sedins are getting old too.
Bam, and they had 3 assists tonight.
Hello.
And both of them had 3 assists tonight. Granlund with 2 goals. But of course, the Sharks do come back to tie it. Brent Burns wires it in. It goes off of Alex Viega's skate to tie the game. So they do pick up the point. A crazy up and down overtime. And unfortunately, the Sharks got caught deep in their own zone. And Gagne comes in and scores, although, you know, Martin Jones had an unreal save in overtime and pretty much, I think, kept them in it. But, you know, it essentially ends a 6-game winning streak against Vancouver. And, you know, it's a tough one, but they do get a point. But yeah, Rocket, they can't keep playing like this where they you know, spot team's early leads and they have to fight back.
Yeah, unless they're sort of you know, sadomasochistic, where they're just they're gluttons for punishment and they want the challenge. Maybe they've got some sort of locker room game going to where it's like, if we can come back from this many goals in the season, coach will have a pizza party for us or something. You know, just a group goal that we don't know about as a fan base. It's not important. It just leaves us questioning the team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Fact or fiction, Dell starts in Edmonton.
Oh. You know, as Chris says, fact, I'm going to go fiction.
I would say, sure, why not? I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either.
Burns gets moved to forward. No, Burns gets moved to goalie and Dylan gets moved to forward.
There we go. Now we're acting like the NBCSN graphics from the other night. yeah, I'm
your name here.
Oh, there you your name here of. Oh, that's the Russian one. As much as I say fiction, I mean, why not, though? I mean, right? Dell has been the better goalie this month. Although they have Edmonton, Vancouver again at home, and then LA before you have a 4 or 5 days off for the Christmas holiday. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to have Jones actually play all of the games before Christmas.
Yeah, but why would Pete continue doing that if already Aaron Dell has seen more action than he did last year and he's had a couple of shutouts even? You know, like why would Pete still put the workload unnecessarily squarely on Jones' shoulders?
Yeah. So question for you. Am I having a Canadian accent?
No, not really.
Okay, I thought so. Puckmom's saying lose the Canadian accent. I'm like, I don't know what that's all about. But Here, I'll throw this out to you. Fact or fiction, Jones plays the last three games before the Christmas break.
Fiction.
Fiction? Okay.
Yeah, because I think he starts in wherever they're playing next.
Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's... I can't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if PDB goes for it.
Ah, Chris in the chat says, I've been in Canada for the last week. Canadian accent on Eric is fiction. Fake news. Thank you there, Chris, for chiming in.
There you go. Oh, geez. Anyways, looking at the stats here, and talking to our, what we'll call the Canucks insider, Matt Baker, our good friend Matt Baker, up in Vancouver. Nikolai Goldobin, he had one shot on goal, and I'll have you correct my pronunciation for Jake Virtanen, also had a shot on goal tonight, played only 8:46 in the game. Let's see, but the Sedins got three assists, Granlund with two goals. Time on ice, I'm kind of curious on for the Sharks. Heat and DeMello played about 11 minutes tonight.
Oh.
Interesting. And with the injury to Couture, no forward got less than 12 minutes. I mean, Logan was the second lowest behind slightly above Sorensen's 12 minutes tonight. So that's interesting. But Jones, 32 saves on 34 shots. I'm sorry, 36 saves on 40 shots. Markstrom, 34 saves on 37 shots. Power play wise, Sharks go 1-for-4. Canucks go 2-for-3. So the penalty kills kind of stepped back a little bit here last couple of games or so.
Doesn't it seem like we can't have it both ways as Sharks.
Exactly.
We can't have it both ways. Like, either the penalty kill is just hardcore lockdown. You can't get past it. It's no big deal. It causes absolutely no stress to anybody who watches the game. Or the penalty kill, or excuse me, the power play is just on fire. It's 2 out of 3. It's 7 out of 9. You know, it's all these ridiculous numbers. All are great. But you can't ever have both. It's like, oh, yeah, Sharks scored 3 power play goals last night and gave up 3 power play kills last or penalty kill goals last night. Well, like, again, why? And if you know the answer why, Doug Wilson has a great job for you.
And you should be a scout for him. Because seriously, come on. Jeez. Oh my goodness.
You don't have mail. You will never have mail again.
We're going to play taps at the end of the show and pour one out for our fallen homie AOL. Oh my gosh.
Not AOL. I thought it was AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, AOL Instant Messenger was shut down on today. However, I will say this. I was helping out a friend who actually was still using the AOL software. I kid you not. And they ended that service last week. So
wow.
So the AOL mail and teaching this guy to freaking open up his email on a web browser. And no, Chris, it's actually somebody else. I don't have it. Oh, shit. Wow. Laurel wants to know where your little studio is located.
It's in my living room, actually.
It looks so comfy and teal. I know.
Thank you.
Teal is awesome. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. Just like my friend who was in Canada last week, Chris, and my friend who bought a house in San Diego. Is this the same friend that has a problem with a bunch of wires? 40-year-old wiring.
No, it's not Chris. It's not Chris. But nonetheless, we like to welcome those of you who watch Brody and Kyle McLaren on NBC, NBC Sports California, to Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every game, so do us a favor, hit the subscribe button down below solely for the awesomeness of Rocket's look tonight.
Thank you. Like I told Eric earlier, it's $4 worth of fake flowers, a dollar headband, and enough hot glue to seal up the whole state of Florida.
Very nice. You look lovely as always, and lovely in teal. All right. With that, before we go around the league, we will talk about the game in San Jose tonight, where Team Canada beat the United States 3-1 to a good crowd. And according to Hockey Jerk, who was at the game tonight, the crowd was about the size of a Barracuda playoff game, which is nice to hear.
Yeah. Hey, the camera stuck on me, bud.
Oh, well, that's not a bad thing compared to me, of course. I
know, but people are getting weirded out.
Oh, people, stop it. So I was trying to get some pictures from the tank, and I know my good friend Nolan, you can follow on Twitter at MLSFan20 because he's also a soccer fan. Tweeted one out. Let me pull this up really quick. Sorry, folks. There we go. Yeah, it was a pretty decent crowd out there tonight, and the game was on NBCSN, and you definitely could hear the USA chants going. So to all those who went out there, I know our good friend Megan was out there as well, and Ruben, who's a constant watcher of our show. Way to represent Teal Town out there. It looked great out on TV. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a full building, but I mean, nonetheless, a good turnout, and hopefully this will be something that will frequent more often, especially on Olympic years.
I hope so. I really enjoy the ice venue at SAP Center. I thought Barracuda games are always a good time there. Even though the venue is a little bit big for the AHL, it's still a sheet of ice, and there's beer and hot dogs and lots of great seats because they're all lower bowl. So you can't go wrong with that. So even when you get to see different kinds of hockey, not just the Sharks there, it's always real fun.
Absolutely. In this game, you had, let's see where we got, no scoring after one period. The United States got on the board early. Breonna Decker with a power play goal from Hillary Knight and Kendall Coyne made it 1-0 early in the second. And then Team Canada took over, scoring two goals. Later in the second period, Haley Irwin and Sarah Nurse, who I believe, don't get me wrong, I believe she's related to Darnell Nurse. That's your game winner. And then
Maria. Is Haley related to Matt Irwin?
That's something we can look up, or unless somebody in the chat can tell us, but I don't think so, but you never know. And then Marie-Philippe Poulin, hopefully Janice will be happy with that pronunciation, got the final goal in the third period. That was early in the third. But nonetheless, the United States played a decent game, but they will have one more tune-up in Edmonton, of all places, on Sunday, the day before the Sharks play the Oilers. But nonetheless, good turnout. Great to see out here in San Jose that there was some pre-Olympic action. And I know we have the frickin' U.S. Figure Skating Championships coming up in like late February, late December, early January. So good turnout there. Great to see out out in San Jose. So with that, let me check with the chat here. All right. Teal City Crew was at that game too. Yes, they had a whole section. I believe it was section 109. They were trying to get a TIFO going as well. So to Kurt and the Teal City Crew, kudos to you. Great to get people out there. I mean, I try to promote it as much as we can. But
a lot going on.
Yeah. Chris in the chat, no game before January is ever a must win unless you are deep out of the playoff picture.
I don't know. You listen to Steve Davis LFR and you would think that they've just completely tanked for whoever's next in the draft.
No kidding. For Carolina, I think that game against the Sharks where they lost 5-4, that was a huge game for them, and to lose that was what was potentially devastating for them. Sleepy Mofo basically saying what Rocket just echoed. Why can't Sharks fans have nice things? I don't know.
Because we're overreactive and we're way too passionate, and we think that we have some sort of opinion that matters to anybody in that locker room, dude. Seriously. Like, we don't matter to them. We don't. We just do this for us.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why we can't have nice things. Because it's because we make it about us. That's why.
There you go. Rocket backhander with the analysis that you need. So make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. Because you need it.
I am Mrs. It. Tough Love, Rocket Backhander.
Mrs. Tough Love.
Nice. Yeah, you have to be into Tough Love if you want to be a Sharks fan.
Oh.
This is what I've learned in the past. Oh, let's see. 14, 15, 16, 17. This is my year 4 as a Sharks fan. I had to think about that for a minute. God, it's been 4 years.
Has it really? Wow.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to echo Chris's sentiment in the chat. Smash the subscribe button.
Wow. Wow. I need to isolate that. Me and AJ need to isolate that. Chris in the chat, Sharks, the BDSM of hockey fandom.
Damn right. Damn right. Wow. You know, so you know how they have like the hanky code where if you have like a white handkerchief in your pocket, you like giving, and if you have like a red handkerchief, you like receiving, and if you like a green one, you'll do other dirty stuff. It's like if you have a teal handkerchief, you just want somebody to run up to you, beat the crap out of you, kick you, and then steal all your money. And then scream, "Go Sharks!" as they run away. Yep.
Good to know. I didn't know about the handkerchief thing.
Look it up. Hanky code.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
I think they made a brief resurgence in the form of silicone bracelets too, where they had different rainbow colored bracelets, and they were different things. If you wanted something from somebody, you would grab their bracelet and snap it off of them. Sort of like, you know, coupon redemption sort of thing.
No, I'll have to check that out for sure. So let's go around the NHL wraparound. And Felix, we are going to get to that in just a jiffy here. But let's take a look at the action on this Friday night. In Buffalo, the Hurricanes beat the Sabres in overtime 5-4. Eichel with a hat trick, although that wasn't enough for Carolina, as they Cam Ward this bitch with Slavin getting the game winner, 2:15 into overtime. In New Jersey, it was the Devils over the Stars 5-2. Hansel and Radulov for Dallas got the game winners, as Santini, Cole, Brian Boyle with his 7th on the year, and got the last goal, he got the game winner and the 5th goal on hand. So 2 goals from Brian Boyle in that game, as Corey Schneider helps the Devils go to 41 points on the year. A big game tonight, and we want to thank the New York Rangers for helping out the Pacific Division as they beat the LA Kings 4-2. Gabrick and some guy named Torrey Mitchell scored for Los Angeles tonight. As Kreider, Hayes, Nash, and JT Miller scored for the Rangers as they go to 37 points on the year. In Detroit, the Wings take out the Maple Leafs 3-1. Borgman, the only goal scorer for Toronto, as the Kaiser, Daly, and score for the Wings as the Wings get to 29 points on the campaign. And then, of course, the Sharks lose in overtime 4-3. So, yeah, kind of a quiet night in the NHL for a Friday. Of course, as Felix mentioned in the chat, the big outdoor game on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon out here on the West Coast, but at 7 p.m. On the East Coast is the NHL 100 Classic featuring the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens. And they did set up a rink outside Parliament Hill as the Senators had an open practice, which I thought this picture was so freaking cool. As they practice in front of the Canadian Capitol, they also had a Senators alumni game on that same sheet of ice, which was really cool. You know, I think the idea was to build grandstands around here and have it play in front of Parliament Hill, but the league just couldn't get it approved. It'll be played at Lansdowne Park, and that game, I believe, is on NBCSN at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock in the East, or as I like to call it, in the Rocket Backhander time zone, 6 p.m. And so definitely check that out, especially since the, yes?
You know, I live in Central Time Zone, right?
Yeah, so it'd be 6 p.m., right? Because if it's...
6. So it's 4 p.m. for you?
Yeah.
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 Okay, yeah. We call it the Rocket Backhander Time Zone.
Yep. it's going to be changed next year. Officially.
Really?
Yeah, it's going through Congress. They're going to change it from Central to RBH. They're going to have standard RBH time and daylight savings RBH time.
that's the effect that Rocket has on the world, folks. Let's just be real here.
True.
Absolutely. So you have that game. Also, the Barracuda play tomorrow night at the Tank. It is Fighter Pilot Night, because we couldn't get the rights to Top Gun Night. The Barracuda will be wearing green fighter pilot jerseys, along with the Justin Braun, Joe Pavelski bobblehead night as well. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, hit up the Tank as you head in, and there should be tickets available. I think they start at like 10 or 15 bucks. So if you need your hockey fix, your local hockey fix this weekend, definitely head out there.
I think they should do a dapper night.
A dapper night?
Yeah, you know, like pucks and tucks. You get like 10% off if you go to the Bullseye or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I would see that. I've seen, not to compare it to like Disneyland, but I've seen
dapper days. The same thing.
It's yeah.
The same thing.
That would be awesome. That would actually be really cool to have the tuxedo jerseys.
Yeah, all the girls would love to wear all their cute little skirts and stuff too. I know they would.
There you go. Yep. Why not?
Why not?
Get all fancy and everything.
Act with your fan base.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Let's see. Let's go in the chat here. Percentage chance that freaking Erik Karlsson will be traded.
10 million a year, though, that's a difficult contract to take, but somebody is going to want him. Somebody's going to want to be able to pay him, like the Leafs or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that in are the Ottawa Senators still going to be in Ottawa? I mean, the worst possible thing is to have an outdoor game, and then have your owners like, I'm not sure if we'll be here much longer. It's like, yeah, that's not exactly the greatest way to promote an outdoor game.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it was a lot of issues. He made some really good points about how, like, we were begging people to come see us in playoffs, and we were in the third round, and people were like, "That's insulting to the fan base." Sorry, hello. No, it's not, because if you remember, it was actually a big deal last year. It was a thing. There were huge swaths of empty seats in the lower bowl, and it was like, "Where are the Senators fans?" It's tough to get to, but you know what? No, I'm sorry. If you're a fan, you get there. There are enough crazy ass people out there who are diehard enough to do that kind of thing. And if you can't find that sort of passion for your team that's in the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, maybe they don't exist.
Yeah, and all of this coming the day before you're having an outdoor game in Ottawa to celebrate the NHL's first game that took place 100 years ago. Quickly to talk about this article from CTV News. On a weekend celebrating the game of hockey in the nation's capital, Ottawa Senators owner Eugene Melnyk put a damper on the festivities. And that's the last thing you want to do promotion-wise. And if I'm not Gary Bettman, you're like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, what the hell are you doing? We're here promoting the game. We're here to celebrate the history of this game, which started in Ottawa. And then Melnyk brought up the possibility of relocation and took a shot at fans and said a new downtown arena might never happen while speaking during the Senators alumni game on Parliament Hill. I mean, why? I mean, just shoot yourself in the foot?
No, I'm sorry. I think that foot's already been cut off. I think that at that point you're just blatantly stating the obvious, which is basically like, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah, I mean,
But
that's.
he didn't say that though. He said they're not doing quote unquote great in Ottawa. They're doing okay, like financially wise. They're not bleeding so far out of their cooter that they want to up and move. And I really don't think that they're interested in moving away from Ottawa either. But it's still like, I don't know, maybe he thinks that a firm reality check will get the fan base sort of motivated to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the case. The quote here, here we're fighting every day to sell a ticket, honest to God. When you get to the third round of the playoffs and you're begging people to buy a ticket, something's wrong with that pitcher, so we're just hoping that changes. Yeah. And that's the tough part. And with the salary cap projected to go almost as high as 82 million next year, they're the owner saying he's running out of ideas and on a shoestring budget. And that's tough to see in Ottawa, because they've had some good teams. I just hope they get the support.
They had a good team last year.
I mean, they were one goal away from playing in the cup final.
Indeed.
Yeah. So but nonetheless, we will be back with you on Monday night following the Sharks and Oilers, the playoff rematch. What do you expect from that game, Rocket? That should be quite an interesting one.
Oh, I think Todd, I think this is going to be the battle of the garbage fires, insofar as coaching goes. Like, Pete is going to not do well, and Todd is going to not do well, and everybody on the ice, I think, will have a great game, but the coaching, I think, is going to go sideways.
That's absolutely interesting. And I'm surprised that they haven't stopped video recording morning skates or practices, because Todd just rips into the team. But we've seen that from Todd before, especially down here in San Jose. But Sleepy Mofo says, Oilers will find their game and turn their season around when they play the Sharks.
No, because they would have already.
Yeah, that's true.
Both coaches are fired after the game. The
Steve.
Yeah, nice. And bring back Drew Menda.
Oh, God.
For both teams. He's the color analyst for both the Oilers and the Sharks.
Yes. Yes. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Bart Tiberiessa will make a huge difference. Direct transfer to light rail. Yeah. In regards to the Sharks, yes. Once Bart gets hopefully to Berryessa or Diridon, that'll help out big time. I'll say this. I'll take Bart from Concord to get to the game. That'll be very cool. So.
Well, I wish I could do that, but I'm too far away. It takes me 3 days to get there if I drive.
Is it 3 days? Oh, that's right. You did, what, 3 days?
3 days.
Gosh. Well, all right, my dear, final thoughts as we tie a bow on this night.
Final thoughts. The offensive production of this particular team does not excite me. It makes my hands and feet tingle like they're on pins and needles, like they're going numb. It's not a good feeling, and I think I might be having a heart attack or a stroke. God, I wish I could be excited about this team more than I am. They should be better. I don't know what they're doing wrong. Change their underwear or something. I don't know. They should be better. I don't know why they're not.
Maybe they need to wash the lucky underwear now.
Maybe it's not lucky anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell the people where they can find you and all that fun stuff.
All right, my name is Rocket Backhander, kids. You can find me on Twitter talking about hockey, teal, glue guns being gateway drugs, that kind of stuff. It's capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. Or you can find me on Instagram taking lovely photographs of the beautiful city of Nashville. Lots of hockey-related stuff and some weird pictures of a bridge. Yeah, that's Rocket Backhander, one word, on Instagram.
And Laurel said she spelled it wrong. Whoops. All right. Well, I'm at PuckGuy14 on Twitter and Instagram. You can check me out there. Again, if you missed any of this or you want to watch this again or just want to enjoy the lovely outfit that Rocket's wearing along with the flowers in her hair, you can hit the subscribe button on TealTownUSA.com. Tealtown USA on YouTube. You can also check us out on tealtownusa.com along with iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, YouTube, you name it. You can find us. Just look up Tealtown USA and you will find us there. So again, we will be back with you after Monday night's game against the Edmonton Oilers, the playoff rematch, Connor McDavid versus Jonas Donskoy versus Chris Tierney.
Oh boy.
We'll hopefully find out more within the next couple of days in regards to Logan Couture. Otherwise, offensively, this team needs to step it up. So with that, for Rocket, for myself, along with everybody at Tealtown USA, we thank you for watching. And remember to keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a wonderful night.